I have forgotten her name, but I can still see her face, a sad little face with tears in the eyes. She was 17 and was here for a weekend's retreat with a group of fellow students from a girls' school in Sussex. And in that weekend of retreat, she was trying to deal with a broken romance. And trying very hard to keep the tears back, she said to me, "I will never leave another person into my heart." Sad, sad words. But I'm sure she changed her mind subsequently, hopefully. When you're young, surely the collapse of one dream is enough to bring down the whole world around your ears. How well Dickens writes about that. But as we grow, hopefully, most of us anyway find the nerve to deal with our disappointments. We struggle on. We carry on. But every disappointment, every rejection, every dream that doesn't come true leaves a wound in a person's soul. And major setbacks, divorce, losing a loved one through death, a crippling illness, losing your job, these all leave permanent scars in our souls. And the big question is not how can I protect myself from hurt, because I can't, but how do I respond to those disappointments? How do I respond to the scars that I have to carry with me? Do I respond with bitterness, self-doubt, or with resilience and trust in God? In that first reading, something dramatic is happening in Abram's life. He has to change direction, and he has no maps for the next part of his journey. But he travels hopefully, believing that God is with him, that God will guide him, that God will fulfill his will in his life. And in our gospel story, Jesus turns his face to Jerusalem, changes direction, knowing that there he will face a violent death. But he does this, he continues on his journey with the sound of his father's voice on the mountain, steadying him. He was strengthened by his father's assurance of his love to face what was unavoidable. And he knew from that moment of transfiguration that God was to be trusted, that God was with him. And the message for us from that encounter with God on the top of the mountain is, God is always with us in our time of trial. He is there within the pain, living through it with us. I've seen many people, too many people indeed, who when they saw one of their cherished dreams disappear, perhaps through no fault of their own, a marriage that failed because of the immaturity of their spouse, a teenage son or daughter who took up with the wrong friends and ended up on drugs. And some of these people have let that single thing define the rest of their lives. They thought that they had failed, and therefore they wrote themselves off as failures. And I have seen many others, more than the other kind, who have found a way to picking up the broken pieces and gone on like Abraham, doing what they felt God wanted of them and trusting God in faith and in love. It's a bit of a platitude to say it, but it is worth reminding ourselves that true success in life does not mean fulfilling your ambitions and your dreams, but in continuing to believe that God will bring good out of your broken ambitions and dreams. And that, above all, it is perhaps through your very failures you become the person you were meant to be. the person you are capable of being when you are at your very best. And when you believe that, namely that it is through our so-called failures that we become our best selves. And if we believe that, it can give even a lightness to our step. And we may find ourselves actually singing in our hearts at the thought of what God will do for us if we allow him. The God who loves us and holds us as we struggle. And the line of a poem that I read during the week comes back to me. Sing if you can sing. And if not, still be musical inside yourself. Sing if you can sing. And if not, still be musical inside of yourself. And I remember a poem by Stevie Smith, which I loved many years ago. Stevie Smith wasn't a believer. She tried to believe, but she couldn't. But she read a new edition of St. Mark's Gospel. And what she felt as she read it was not the tale of suffering and death, but of somebody singing. And here's how she finishes that poem. Whatever foolish men may do, the song is cried for those who hear. And the sweet singer does not care that he was crucified, for he does not wish that men should love him more than anything because he died. He only wishes they could hear him sing. He does not wish that men should love him more than anything because he died. He only wishes they would hear him sing.